My name is Matthew McBarish, and I'm the European Ambassador for Stop the Silence, Stop Child Sexual Abuse. And this is episode 10 of the Road to Change podcast, a 10,000 mile walk to stop the silence and stop child sexual abuse. Right now, I'm in a motorhome in a mountain in Bulgaria with Stego MacGyver.
Hello, boys and girls.
And regular listeners will know that this week we arrived in Sofia. I want to call it Sofia because
Sofia,
which is the capital of Bulgaria. We arrived on Thursday with my brother Roddy, who'd walked with me all the way from Romania. Mm-hmm. The Road to Change, the whole point of it is to raise awareness, to reach out to policymakers and the press. All the meetings and stuff that we're trying to put together aren't actually happening until Monday. So Roddy, he flew out this morning, and Stego and I figured, well,
why not drive and save us some kilometres?
Well, next stop is Athens, so I figured instead of just sitting around for the weekend when we can't do anything, I'll just make a start on the walk to Athens. So we're now,
We
dropped Roddy at the airport and then walked 48 kilometres, which is 30 miles. And we're at kind of ear-popping altitude, so we're up in the mountains here. I don't know if you look at a picture of Sofia, there's these massive snow-capped mountains all around it, and that's where we are. The first 5 hours today was walking up.
Yeah, I'm surprised anyone managed to do it.
Yeah, probably everyone just did. It was weird because obviously I'm in my kilt, and when I left the city it was, you know, like 11 degrees, and then once we got up in the mountains, like, there's snow everywhere. And then it started, you know, actually snowing, and I was like, wow, this is totally, it's like Narnia. It's really weird. Yeah. But it's beautiful up here.
Yeah, it is.
So so Roddy is already back home, probably.
Yeah, I think it's quarter past six now, so...
Yeah, he should be home now.
Pretty much home.
So Roddy, he's my brother from Scotland, but he lives in Donegal. And before he left last night, we recorded an interview with him just to see how he felt about the whole experience, because, you know, he raised money through people at his work, and he came over and supported Road to Change, and he walked with me. So rather than us telling you how it went, we'll hear from him, the man himself.
Get on to it. All right.
So, Roddy Poddy, this is your last night in Bulgaria, and I think as you listen to this, you'll probably be sitting in your house in Donegal tomorrow night.
Yeah. You're right.
So it's just kind of weird.
So
we made it. We walked from a wee tiny town on the Romanian border, 200 kilometres to here. And it's been quite an adventure, eh, Rogers?
Yeah, that's for sure, Matt. It's ups and downs, especially over the mountain and back down again.
Literally over the mountain. So we were just doing a wee compilation there of the highlights. We made a list. Do you want to rest them out, this thing?
Right. So we had the biggest snake of Road Change.
Wait, there was a 5 foot snake. That was on your first day walking, Roddy.
Yeah, it was the first day, and it was the first snake we actually saw. You know.
Luckily it was deep.
Luckily I missed it.
Yeah, you were in the van. Safely in the van.
Yeah.
And then you unfortunately got some infected feet.
I did, yeah.
Yep.
I got blisters on the first day, which I didn't really expect, because when I was, you know, practicing for coming over here, I wasn't getting any blisters. No matter, even though I was doing 25K, I had no blisters, you know. And it wasn't until I arrived over here the first day, the first part of the walk was grand, there was no blisters. Because we'd done 35, 36 kilometres that first day.
And it was super hot.
And I got the blisters. And they weren't too bad. The following day we walked, the blisters just get a bit bigger. There was nothing...
blisters on blisters.
But unfortunately then, I picked up an infection in both feet. Once the blisters both burst, and I got an infection in both feet, which was sore.
But you charged on. You were walking with two infected feet, you know, for the next day at least. You were still walking on it.
Yeah, I was kind of being, you know, to death or a 99 type scenario, you know.
So then luckily we had antibiotics in the van, so you started the course of antibiotics and you rested for one day.
Yeah.
Which is brilliant, because in 10 months of walking, I've had to stop twice for injury. And I've never arrived late in a city because we kind of plan expecting hold-ups. But I think it was nice that you got to experience what it's like to be held up from your own body not letting you.
Yeah, you know? I mean, that day it did disappoint me, the fact that I couldn't get going again, you know. Mm-hmm. I felt as if I was, you know, letting everyone down.
Yeah,
you know?
And you kept saying I'm sorry to Matt. So.
Yeah.
That's the thing, Roddy. I mean, these lovely people for your work and from your community donated all that money for you to come over and join Road to Change for a week to walk from one city to another. If you imagine that, times that by 32 cities, times that by, you know, was it 16,000 kilometres, you've done 200.
Yeah.
And that feeling of if ever you get stuck, if ever your body was not strong enough, I'm just constantly aware of how many people are giving us money, how many people are not relying on us, but how many people are supporting us and behind us. And in the second there's a problem or hold up, there's that kind of immediate, oh my God. So many
response.
I'm letting so many people down here, you know, let alone the 100 million survivors in Europe that we're trying to reach by doing this. So it was nice that you got to experience what that's like.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose I took the day break, you know, and then back on the road again. My feet weren't perfect, you know, and they still aren't.
Still a bit.
But even though you had got two infected feet, you still managed to walk 200 kilometres.
200 kilometres, and that's a serious distance. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Was it 600,000 steps you did in a week?
600,000.
In a week, that's mental.
Yeah, it was great, and it was I enjoyed it, even though my feet were absolutely killing me, you know, beyond killing me at times. But you know, it's like once you get going, you forget about the pain and you just keep going. And
I think you just need to start in the morning.
Once you start in the morning.
I mean, I remember the first 3 weeks of Road to Change when I lost the majority of my toenails, and your body doesn't quite understand what's happening because your body's telling you stop doing this. Mm-hmm. And you have to override the pain and go, it's okay, there's a reason I'm doing this, and you keep going. And eventually, like you saw, you do get there. So.
Even, you know, how we stop for, you know, we'll stop, say we're doing maybe 15, 16 kilometres, and we'll stop for some water and stuff and maybe a bite to eat. It's actually starting again then.
Yeah,
the pain.
Starting again.
You know, sometimes I didn't want to stop, I wanted to keep going because I knew as soon as I stop, if I try to start going again, my feet are going to be absolutely killing me, you know?
Yeah, I remember it.
It was good,
too. I mean, you did amazingly. So what else you got? You got rained on inside the van.
Yeah.
You got to experience that.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, it's not the bolts. It's just the hatch. I broke that. But
yeah, in Estonia, Stig tried to drive a bonnet in a car park that was too low and ripped the roof.
It's the second day or the first day.
Yeah, within 24 hours of starting driving a bonnet, you ripped the roof off the ceiling. So when Roddy was trying to get some sleep after a long day's walking, he was getting rain directly on his sleeping bag.
See, the fact that we bought a basin, you know, so I could steep my feet in. So the fact that I had to get some kind of salts to try and kill the infection in my feet, and we bought a nice basin, you know, and I was really proud of myself because I was, you know, I could hear the drips during the night, you know, and I thought, oh geez, I'm getting soaked here, you know. So I was really proud of myself, the fact that I was able to find the basin in the van and pop it beside me on the bed, and it catched about 3 litres of water.
3 litres of water by the time you woke up again?
Yeah, by the time I woke up, and really proud of myself for catching all that water, but managed to spill it when I got up.
You soaked the carpet with it.
Soaked the carpet then.
But it was in the basin for a wee while.
It was.
But you'd be amazed how absorbent a sleeping bag can be.
So you got a free apple and you were offered a lift.
You got a free apple and you were offered a lift, right?
Yeah. They must have felt sorry for me.
That's what happens. Like, that means Bulgaria is the sixth country where someone offered us a lift, which is, you know, I've done this is the 19th country, and only six of those countries people see us and they go, oh, do you want a lift? Which is really kind. I'm not saying this represents the entire nation, but it is interesting, you know. But we got offered an apple as well.
Yeah, we were given an apple. A nice
old man we're walking past, fruit selling man.
He shouted across the road. And
then, and then we ran into an avalanche.
Avalanche, Well, that was, Stig went ahead and then came back immediately because he goes up the road 15 kilometres and he drove back and says, you know, the road's closed.
The road's closed,
There's been a mass, the mountains collapsed onto the road and you won't get past it. But sure enough, Rogers, we came around that corner. we're going to go over this.
Yeah.
Got a picture on Facebook if you want to see that.
Yeah.
It's from the perspective of Matt and Rolly and from me.
You can see Stego on the main road, yeah.
Yeah, because we were just climbing up it when Stig was passing on the van.
It was lucky timing.
Yeah, it was great timing.
So Stig, he drives along in Avon on the main road, which is like really, really high bridges and goes through mountains, through tunnels through the mountains, which inside those tunnels would be carbon monoxide. You couldn't walk through them safely.
No.
Find it inside a vehicle, but Roddy and I literally walked over the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
On what would be the old road before Bulgaria was in the EU, the old trail, I guess.
Right. Yeah. And talking about that, I mean, in the last episode, I was talking about how good the roads were. Turns out that they're quite shite when you.
once we
made that turn off on the road and onto the old one,
they don't invest any money in it. Once the EU have redone one road,
the holes were bigger than the road. And then we had a full Irish breakfast in a field in Bulgaria.
One of my favourite things about the EU is that you can move anything in your suitcase. So Roddy arrived with a full... He had bacon, he had sausages, he had black pudding, white pudding and tatty scones all the way from Donegal.
It took us about 5 days to eat it.
We're in a field in a camper van in the middle of Bulgaria eating a full Irish breakfast. I'll never forget that. It was brilliant.
Yeah, that's good. See, I'm not ever going back to cheese and jam sandwiches now.
I know. None of your weird Swedish nonsense. Just get some Irish in you.
All right, yeah.
And then on our day off, we found a bungalow and we did not have a kitchen. That was so strange.
Just to explain, I normally walk 6 days and rest one day. And that's the day that I try and catch up with the blog and do some admin and emails and nonsense like that. But we stopped and we got, just because the three of us were crushed into the van, we got a wee bungalow, which when we turned up, it's the strangest building I've ever been in.
You booked it.
I know.
It was supposed to be a three-bedroom bungalow. See,
never believe anything you read on the internet.
No,
you know.
I said it would be internet and all
kitchen
that stuff.
And the full works.
But who builds a building without a kitchen? I mean, that's the thing. Like, how could it even be? Where? How could you live in a building without a kitchen? I was walking around going, there must be a kitchen in this building, and there wasn't.
Maybe we just couldn't find it.
But it was a tiny wee room. It was just mental.
It was three bedrooms.
When we had the shower. Yeah, all of the
floor was terrible.
It flooded. It was crazy.
But the thing is, guys, it was the luxury of being able to do that again.
Yeah,
you know, and I think it was, you know, Roddy himself paid for that as well as coming over here and walking and raising all that money. He paid for a night in a bungalow for us, if you can call that a bungalow. It was a night in a nice bed outside of Vaughan, which was nice to get out of the van some night. You know, one night a week, and we get a shower that night.
We did.
I wonder if that's how your feet got infected. Because
I have a feeling that's where I picked up. All right.
I normally get like one shower a week, and I walk about 240 kilometers a week with one shower a week.
Yeah.
There used to be a shower in Avon, but it's not...
yeah, but we've had winter now, so we haven't really been able to use it anyway.
Yeah, but
we're gonna clean out Avon now, and then we're gonna do some work on it. We'll see.
So Roddy, I think it's kind of cool. You got a miniature version of the entire walk.
You got all the elements here.
You got sunburn and you got to walk in ice cold freezing rain in the same one week.
1 week, it's true because day. I've got a farmer's tan. My arms are brown now, but I get quite a bad sunburn on, I think, the first or second day.
And yesterday we were freezing.
Yesterday we were absolutely freezing, that's right.
The gale was hitting us. We came out of the mountains and it was just that big flat and it was just the wind hitting us. And my hands were blue. It was horrendous.
It was freezing all right. That. But once we got going yesterday morning, because we knew we only had, it was 26 kilometres we had left, something like that, you know. And,
27, I think it was.
27,
well, you just put your feet down and get on with it. You can see the city at that point. And Sofia is a really, really beautiful city. And it's surrounded by kind of snow-capped mountains. It's quite something to behold, to be honest.
Yeah.
So Roddy, I was going to ask you, so what was your... What would you say was the hardest part of your visit to Road to Change?
The hardest part, I would say, was starting off walking every day after breaks and first thing in the morning. Mm. I mean, basically, when it's funny what I was thinking about when when you're starting off, how sore it is on your feet. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to describe. When I was studying to be an advanced paramedic, there was, you know, even when I was paramedic, you ask a patient, on a scale of 1 to 10, how sore is the pain? Mm-hmm. You know, so 0 being no pain and 10 being the worst unbearable pain you could imagine. When we were doing an advanced paramedic course, there was a kind of ongoing joke that stepping on Lego was the sorest thing you could ever do, you know? So I honestly believe that Bulgaria is paved with Lego bricks. And I was walking bare feet. Because it was, that's the quality of pain. And that was the hardest part. It was just starting off every morning. I mean, you're keen to go, but
yeah,
it was just your feet were telling you, stop this, you know, yeah. What are you doing? Are you mental?
What are you doing?
You know?
So that was the hardest part. What was your favourite part of the whole experience?
Favourite part? I'd say there was a couple of favourite parts. The kind of, after the walk in the evening, you know, you come into Yvonne and you sit, and there's the three of us there, and we sit and have a bit of crack and chat about the day, you know, what happened during that day.
Crack is Irish for chat and comedy, isn't it? We don't have to sit and have crack.
No, we don't. the crack was mighty. That was. I really enjoyed that the evenings in Yvonne, you know, was probably my favourite part. And of course, when myself and Matt walked up to Alexander's Cathedral, at the end of it, you know, because I knew that was us, we'd made it, you know.
Yeah.
And
we got kind of surrounded by the public there.
We did, handing
out flyers and
straight away, you know,
a bunch of Bulgarians saying, "Is that true? What it says in your t-shirts?" Having our photos taken with people. It was nice. It was a nice wee thing to walk into.
That was great. I enjoyed that experience, you know.
And we saw Dobry, who's
the saint of
Sofia. This old man, he's about 100 years old, and he stands in that cathedral collecting donations.
We can share a link on it as well.
Yeah, we saw him, which was, you know, he's literally known as the saint of Sofia, and he looks like Santa Claus. He's white hair and white beard, and he's 100, and he stands there collecting money for his whole life. Bless him. So, Roddy, what would you? There's a number of people interested in coming out and joining me on the road to change, and anyone's very welcome to come and walk with me. How would you advise anyone? What would you tell someone thinking about coming out and joining me?
Depends, I suppose, how long they're coming out for. You know, if they're doing the same as myself, I came out and basically walked 6 days, as to put the practice in. I practiced. Unfortunately, the 2 weeks before I came over, I was working solid and I'll never get out. And I never blistered my feet before I came over, you know. And so I would suggest go out and walk. If you intend to walk with Matthew 35, 36 kilometres a day, well, make sure you get up to that and do it day after day.
Yeah, and also make sure you pick out a good pair of socks.
Yeah, definitely, you know. I invested in quite a few pairs of socks, different ones, but those ones that I settled on that, you know, I was using.
But there's the socks so that your feet are protected, and then there's the shorts so your legs are protected. Yeah. And people think, why do your legs need protected? Because the skin at the top of your legs, if you're walking 8 to 10 hours a day in heat, you get the sweat in your skin. Basically, you end up, we're calling it nappy rash, but that's what you get if you're not wearing the right trousers.
Yeah.
And then if you're not wearing the right top, then your nipples will start to bleed, which I put up with for about 6 months until somebody sent us a compression top. But you arrived with the right gear, buddy. So.
I had the right gear, all right. I just didn't have blistered feet before I came out. And that's, unfortunately, because I got the blisters, I got the infection. Mm-hmm. Luckily, the antibiotics and the painkillers were there. Mm-hmm. But if I had blistered my feet beforehand and toughened them up, I would have been in better stead, you know. But unfortunately,
and there's only one way of doing it. You just need to walk.
You just need to walk your feet are strong enough. I mean, I was only doing 25K practicing when I was in Ireland. Mm-hmm. And some days I was only getting 15 done. Mm-hmm. But if you expect to walk 35, you have to get up to the 35 or more, you know.
Well, it's just been a riot having you, Roddy. Hopefully we'll see you when I get to Dublin. We'll see you there.
Yeah.
The weather will be completely different. And, you know, it'll be snowing and raining and stuff, but we'll walk with you again at some point in Dublin to Belfast.
Yeah, definitely. I'll be back to walk again in Ireland.
Aye.
You know, and I look forward to it. And I'll be following you every way, every step of the way until then.
Aye. Thanks very much, Rogers. Yes,
that. Yeah, thanks, right. Matt.
Cheers.
Thanks, Dick. Cheers.
So yeah, so that was Wee Rogers. He's back home already, listening to that probably.
Yeah.
And because we were on the road last week, when we did the podcast, Mandy Bobbs, who is the third member of the team, she kind of travels ahead. It takes me sometimes a couple of weeks up to a month to walk from one city to another. And Amanda, she goes ahead of me, and she, you know, starts to set up meetings and kind of we normally have wonderful support from the British Embassy, but it does mean that Amanda's already in the city. But because we're now literally up in a mountain, we wanted to hear from her, so she sent in a wee hello to tell us where she is and what she's been up to this week in Sofia. So let's hear from Mandy Bobbs.
Hello. I have literally just arrived at Couchsurfer number 2 for Sofia, not even 15 minutes ago, and I'm recording this on my phone to send to Matt, who I believe is walking towards Athens. So he'll be out in the middle of nowhere. Wouldn't be like him. So yeah, I've been here for just over a week now, getting the ball rolling, setting up meetings, had a meeting at the embassy that went pretty well. They showed some genuine, keen interest in the road to change and what we're trying to do, and gave me some good contacts to follow up. We do have some genuine interest here. It's looking like every single member of the embassy staff are going to be walking with Matthew on Thursday afternoon to raise awareness of the project and get some media attention. So that's going to be quite fun, having like 40 or 50 adults walking around following this guy in a blue kilt. We've got two NGO meetings and an embassy meeting set up for next week, and yeah, we'll see what happens after that. The ministries will be next. Another woman that I met with was keen to get the Ombudsman and the Ministry of Justice to get us straight through their door. So that should all start happening next week, fingers crossed. I was in Bucharest just before here. I was in Bucharest for about 3 weeks. That was quite interesting as well. When I got the train, my God, the train here was a riot. I think that was the longest train journey I've ever been on in my life. It was 10 hours by myself. And the reason it took so long was because the train was going so slow that people could actually stick their head out the window as it was going cross-country. You know, the windows just slid down and people were just standing there smoking fags. You know, it was like one of those old antique numbers. It looked like something out of Harry Potter. You got like a cart to yourself and curtains in the window, and you're allowed to smoke in your wee cabin, put your feet up, close the curtains. It was quite nice. Well, I say I got to myself. I didn't really. People kept coming in and demanding to see my passport and Bulgarian and Romanian and Hungarian, God knows what. At one point, this random guy came in with a bag, didn't say a word, didn't look at me, just emptied his bag of his stuff, like put it all out in neat rows in front of me, on the chair in front of me, and there was all these wee toys and trinkets, and then turned around and left again without saying a word. That was a bit creepy. Just this Mickey Mouse toy staring me in the eyes for about 10 minutes, until he came back and took them all back again. Yeah, alright. And literally the second I stepped off the train, I mean, I've got a year's worth of stuff on me, including my filming equipment, my laptop, my tripod, camera lenses, and my clothes. So, yeah, I'm, like, hauling all this stuff off the train, and five guys appeared out of nowhere instantly trying to help me. And I was like, oh, God, here we go. Why are these people so, you know, adamant to help me out? And, of course, you know, they're going to want money. He's like, oh, I'll carry your bag for you, missus. Oh, yeah, we'll go and find the cash machine for you. Both cash machines at the train station were empty. And I'm pretty sure it deducted money from my bank account anyway without actually giving me the money. So it's like, great. And because it was nighttime when I arrived, the money exchange place was shut. So I literally had three guys escorting me around the mall, carrying my bags, showing me around. And eventually we found a bureau de change place in the hotel across the street. And they put me in a cab, and the guy says to me just before I got in, so you give me money for a taxi and drink up the road. I was like, no, I'm sorry. I felt quite bad, actually. I would have, you know, under normal circumstances, just given him money, but I didn't have change. I only had, like, big notes, and, you know, it's road to change money, so what can you do if you can't just go giving it away? So what else has been happening work-wise? Emailing the president of Malta's office. There's just been a new president elected, and he's shown great interest in the road to change. They're already quite proactive in child protection over there. There's a lot of campaigning and lobbying happening just now anyway with regard to child safety. So when we approached them, they jumped right on it, which is great. Got some meetings set up there, some dates on the calendar. Starting to try and get more and more set up further down the road, so we've actually got things in place as soon as we arrive. Yeah, it's going well. So we'll just wait to see how Sofia pans out. You know, you never know. We thought Bucharest was going to be quite quiet because the response time was quite slow, but it actually turned out to be quite busy in the end. Busy enough anyway, so we'll see. Anyway, yeah. Starting to feel a bit strange talking into my phone now, so I'm just going to go. We'll see you later. Bye.
So yeah, Mandy Bob's there. She's kind of down the mountain back in the city, working away as you heard. So yeah, how are you feeling, Stiggle MacGyver?
Oh, I'm really good. I'm gonna be quite sad now when there'll only be two people in the one.
And it's just you and
yeah,
I.
Yeah. Really will be back. It was a blast to have him here, and it was really good. I really like him. So
yeah, I mean it was wonderful having Roddy here, and for so many reasons, but. You know, there was it was
he kept
it was
going.
An eventful week.
Even like yesterday when we were walking around the city, we had to catch up with him.
Yeah,
he was
his feet are not fully healed yet, and he's still battering on. See, that's Rogers for you. But, have we got any luck of the week, Stiggle?
Yeah, I think that one goes to you and your polls.
Me and my polls. Yeah. Unfortunately, no luck to me this week. My Nordic walking poles, which if you've seen any pictures of me walking or videos, are these poles that I use to kind of help me walk, and it takes the pressure off my legs. But on Tuesday, well, they got stolen.
They kind of got stolen.
It was my own fault. Roddy that day, he couldn't walk because his feet weren't too painful, so I'd kind of carried on. I'd done 30 miles, and I got to the van, and basically, I was supposed to be on a conference call with Dr. Pine in Washington, and she's like 9 hours behind or something at the moment, I can't remember. So when I reached the van, my phone died, so I was a bit flustered, like, I really need to go on this conference call. I left the poles leaning against the van, I got on the call, and
the next morning,
well, yeah,
they were gone.
Yeah. All we know is there was some people on bikes who cycled really close to the van a few times, and they went around the van, and the police did tell us, it's not a safe country.
they banded us,
apparently. Yeah. But they nicked my poles, which was, in itself, I was gutted because I was given them by Rasa, yeah, right. Who's the director of Save the Children in Lithuania. And because she noticed that my upper body was, the muscle mass had kind of disintegrated, so she gave me these walking poles, and they were great. But it got kind of worse, actually, because then I walked with Roddy for 2 days without the poles, and obviously I was used to walking with them. So yesterday morning I woke up and I couldn't breathe.
It's a big nail-luck of the week.
I couldn't breathe. And I was kind of panicking about that because it's kind of scary when you can't breathe. But my brother's an advanced paramedic. When he kind of checked me over, we realised that it was entirely muscular. Because I didn't have the pose that I normally have, and I'd kind of somehow done something to my back. And I woke up and my entire back muscles had seized up, which was making it difficult to breathe.
Yeah.
So nae luck me. But
there's been a great week.
Yeah, it's been an eventful week. Yeah.
And looking forward to next week as well.
Yeah, well, I'm going to keep walking. I've done 30 miles today. I'll do another 30 tomorrow, and then we'll go back to Sofia. And like Mandy Bobbs was telling us, we're going to meet the British Embassy, and we're going to do some press and meet some wonderful NGOs, and hopefully we're going to engage with the government policymakers here and create some change. So any final thoughts, Stiggle?
No, not really.
You're just...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can't just say that. I need to think about what I'm going to say, so I can't really... No... Well, no.
No, Stiggle's out of thoughts. Right. Well, yeah, I just want to say thank you so much to Roddy for coming here and being part of the project. And thank you to Mandy Bobbs for, you know, everything she's doing this week. And I just want people to know that Stiggle and Amanda, they don't get paid. You know, like myself, we're out here doing this project because we believe in it and we want to be a part of something which is creating change, lasting change. But when you guys donate money, you know, you're paying for, like, so that Amanda can get the train to the next city. You know, you're paying for, so that Stig can fill Yvonne with diesel. You know, literally, that's what your money's going to. And when you're supporting Road to Change, or if you host a fundraising event, that money helps us do what we're doing. And from what we've seen, it's, you know, we're having an impact in some countries. And,
absolutely.
And whether or not, you know, we get... is the response from the governments that we want, or the response from the media, we just keep going, you know. And these guys are over here, and they're doing, Stiggle and Mandy Bobbs are giving up years of their life to do this, be part of this, and they're doing it for free. So just, you know, I'm just expressing my gratitude to the pair of them, but also so you guys know that, you know, no one's out here on holiday. You know, sometimes you'll literally be standing in a forest in a Balkan kind of mountain listening for bears and thinking, we're really doing this.
Absolutely.
But we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you guys. So thank you so much for listening and for supporting the project. So, but Road to Change is a project organised and supported by Stop the Silence, Stop Child Sexual Abuse, in partnership with the Moira Anderson Foundation. You can find links to these wonderful organisations on roadtochange.eu. You'll also see a big donate button there if you want to support us financially. Yeah, thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, thank you. See you next week. Cheerio.